we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about this one, I mean this one right here, the one I'm sitting in, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. I'm swimming in text messages right now. You guys are amazing. Chris from Gadsden says all Trump has to do is be up to speed with national security, et cetera, is to have a quick conversation with President Biden. I'm pretty sure that's not a good source. Thomas from Athens says, why can Senate elect new majority leader before swearing in new members to start the new? I don't know the answer to that question. I think part of it depends upon whether or not McConnell has resigned. If McConnell resigns, then it automatically opens the need for an election. So I'm not going to be a bit surprised if McConnell's not vying for his choice, which I think is John Thune, but we'll wait and see. Jeff P. from Arab says, Phil, somehow I knew Trump was going to win last night. I woke up at 12:57 just in time to watch his victory speech. It was amazing. It's time to make America great again, finally. I agree with that. And then Bordeaux from Harvest says, Phil, Kamala Ding Dong just started speaking. She came out laughing a bit. Thank God we dodged that bullet. Yeah, we listened to a little bit of it during the break, and I commented to JP, I'm so glad not to have to hear her for the next 4 years. That would have been just like fingernails on a chalkboard. John from Huntsville says, speaking of girls crying again, I just saw Tim Walz tearing up. I'm sure he did. I have no doubt. Gary from Decatur says, the best thing about this election is that in 2 months, we effectively have seen the last of Kamala Harris in politics. Yeah, I think she's toast. I'm not even sure she can get a job on The View. She literally has been the demise of the current state of Democrat politics.
Yeah, I don't know where she goes from here. I mean, you lose an embarrassing landslide like that. I don't know. Her political career could very well be over.
The only thing I could see her being able to do potentially is go back to California and run for governor when Gavin Newsom decides to go up to the big leagues.
Yeah. I'll be very interested to see what she decides to do.
We'll see. Hey, I got an audio clip I want to play. JP, I'm going to pull audio clip number 3. Let's get Chris Wallace. Chris Wallace? Yes, let's get Chris Wallace. Let's get Chris Wallace in here and tell us a little bit about what his thoughts are. And by the way, as he did this, he's on CNN. He's sitting there in a panel discussion, and he literally sucked the air out of the room by speaking a little bit of truth. Go ahead and play it.
I mean, let's talk about the significance of a Republican Senate if, and I repeat, if Donald Trump is elected president. It means that they can confirm without any Democratic votes any appointment he makes to his cabinet, to the government, to the Supreme Court, should there be a vacancy. It's an enormous advantage to a president. And at this point, we haven't talked about it much, but in the House, although that hasn't been decided yet, the Republicans have flipped 3 Democratic seats. The Democrats haven't flipped a single Republican seat. So there is the possibility here of a complete united Republican government with Donald Trump as the president and with a Republican House and Senate, which means that in terms of appointments, in terms of immigration policy, economic policy, environmental policy, name it, he could have a pretty blank check.
The rest of the panel sat there almost in stunned silence as he made these comments. And it's true. Now we're gonna likely see a retention of House majority, maybe even with a couple of seats more than what we have currently. By the way, she's already through with her concession speech. She's done. She is done. I think that was all of what, 6 minutes, thereabouts. She is very likely. We are very likely going to see a House majority. I'd be surprised if we don't. I think the math is heading in that direction. But the truth of the matter is, the U.S. Senate is a big deal also. While the House controls the purse strings and the House has the initial layer of what can be done in impeachment and that kind of thing, and has to, pass legislation, you got to have both the House and the Senate to accomplish your objectives. The truth of the matter is, there's a lot of things that actually happen in the Senate. I saw it when I was in the state Senate. We were the confirmation body. We're the ones that approve people for key jobs on cabinets and in court systems. And that's That's an amazing thing to think that on day one, we know for a fact that Trump can get his cabinet confirmed. If one of the conservative elder justices on the Supreme Court retires or off a federal court bench retires, he can get them get a confirmation appointed to replace them. I mean, it's a huge, huge deal. And I think I'm not going to be a bit surprised if we don't see a need for the confirmation of a new justice in the first year or two of the next Trump administration. All right, I got to switch gears. We got to talk about this. What's next? What's the aftermath? What are people saying around the world? I've got an audio clip here from Trey Yinks. I'm going to call audio four. Audio clip number four, Trey Yinks reporting for Fox News from Israel, actually, had a number of comments, including Benjamin Netanyahu. And JP, just watch for me to stop this one. At some point, he changes the topic, so we'll go through his heads of state discussion and foreign policy discussion, and then we'll cut it from there. Go ahead and play it.
But first, Trey Yinks is live in Tel Aviv, Israel. Trey.
Yeah, hey, Brian, good morning. Reaction is pouring in from around the world following former President Trump's projected election victory. We do know there will be major foreign policy decisions under this new administration that will affect countries like Ukraine, Iran, Israel, and everywhere in between. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky posted to X saying, quote, "Congratulations to Donald Trump on his impressive election victory." The Ukrainian leader went on to praise Trump for his peace through strength approach to global affairs. The Emir of Qatar also posted a similar message saying, quote, "Congratulations to President-elect Donald Trump on winning the U.S. presidential election. I wish you all the best during your term and look forward to working together again." Arguably, the most notable congratulations, though, came from Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who said, quote, "Congratulations on history's greatest comeback. Your historic return to the White House offers a new beginning for America and a powerful recommitment to the great alliance between Israel and America. This is a huge victory." Overnight, Prime Minister Netanyahu fired his defense minister, Yoav Gallant, sparking massive demonstrations across Israel.
All right, let's go ahead and stop it there. So you're hearing world leaders. I think there's two that come into play right away. Volodymyr Zelensky, what's going to happen with Ukraine? Well, Zelensky's making nice, and he better, because right now he's going to have a hard time sustaining some of the, at the very least, the logistics of the war with Russia. And the idea that we have had a blank check to him over time has been really a point of contention. Foreign policy should never be a blank check. Foreign policy should always have a goal and objective, and it should have the interests of the United States firmly in hand. And I don't know that we've been able to see that. The Biden administration has had no plan on Ukraine except a blank check. The other thing that we just saw, though, was Benjamin Netanyahu, who, you know, when he was here in the United States, he went and met. Well, I take it back. Zelensky did also. They both went and met with Trump while he was campaigning. Benjamin Netanyahu, though, made very clear this is a big deal and he enjoys it. And I think for good reason. All right, listen, we got plenty more. Let me get a few text messages here real quick. The parts guy from Albertville, he says, "Did you see Jill Biden's tribute to Harry?" I did. Did you see this, JP? You did not see it?
I did not see this, no.
Jill Biden. So I won't steal a parts guy's text, but he's right. He says, "Did you see Jill Biden's tribute to Harris, her red outfit," all caps, "that she wore to vote in?" He said, "Opponents trade colors, LOL." Said, "I think before Trump pardons Hunter, he needs to negotiate a personal pardon from Joe, like the Dems did to force him out of the race." So yeah, if you didn't see this, Jill Biden went to the polls yesterday, knowing full well it was going to be a photo op, wearing a bright red suit.
Mm-hmm.
That, first of all, red's the color of the Republicans, but red is often too known as the color of the Republican women. They wear red jackets when they have their gatherings. Listen, nobody thinks for a second that was accidental.
Yeah, that's a little bit too big of a gaffe to be accidental.
Yeah.
I saw a funny video, too, of, you know, had a video of a text that said, "Oh, no, Kamala lost by 1 point or one vote. Who didn't vote for Kamala?" And it was a video of just Joe Biden turning around and smiling.
Wearing that MAGA hat.
Yeah.
JT Lacey Spring says, "Kamala may get that McDonald's job yet." Nice. Lewis from Birmingham says, Kamala, day before the election. If we don't win, there won't be another election day after losing. We will continue to fight by voting. Which is it? She just gave her speech. Lasted about probably 7 minutes. But she told her crowd, we must accept the election results. Well, good for her. And after excoriating anybody who dared to question the 2020 election now for the last 4 years, she better say that, because she knows she's boxed herself in. She can't say anything but that. You know, what's also interesting, too, is you know who's going to have to certify the vote on the floor of the Senate?
Yeah, it's going to be Kamala.
It's going to be Kamala Harris.
Oh, yeah. God. Yikes.
That's like layers of pain. Jim from Athens says, I think Harris is relieved she lost. I feel like she knew she wasn't up to the task. You know what, Jim, you say that, and I hear it, but I don't know that she did know that. I don't know that she thought that for a second. I think that she thought it was her right. I think that she thought that she was the glass ceiling breaker that would take it all to a new level of wokeness. I think that she thought that Joe stepped aside for me. It's my turn. And I don't think she was ready at all. I don't think she ever would. I don't think she could be ready, to be honest with you.
Well, that's assuming the Democratic Party actually cares about competence. You know, they prefer a kakistocracy. That's what they prefer.
You have learned the vernacular in your short time with Right Side Radio, man.
Yeah.
Kakistocracy, a government run by the least competent of its citizens. Jimmy from Del Rose, Tennessee, says maybe Kamala will get a job on The View because she doesn't have a view like everyone else on The View. Nice. And then brand new in the text lines, Lou from Hartsel. Oh, that's right. We got him now. Lou.
Yeah, so he said to his text earlier that he was glad that it wasn't a 50-50 close. So he actually was agreeing with you. Said that, you know, he's glad that it wasn't a mandate and that it wasn't 50-50 for the popular vote, Senate and House. And so a very good day for the Repubs.
Well, I'm reading back over it, and I realize that if you change the tone of your voice, you can almost find a different meaning in the way you texted it. All right. So, Lou, welcome to the text lines. We're glad you're there. Hey, right before we go to the break, let me just tell you guys all, we got a brand new thing. Every single day, we're sending out an email update called the Right Side Report. Gives you news about the show, things that Right Side Media's got going on, tells you about our latest podcasts, and links to things that we've got available for you. And only way, I mean, there's a quick way to get signed up for it. Just right now, these text lines that we're on, 833-68-RIGHT, that's 833-687-4448, just text the single word newsletter. It's all one word, newsletter. You text that one word newsletter, it will send you a link to sign up. We'd love to get you in there for the Right Side Report. A bunch of folks signed up today already. So text the word newsletter to 833-68-RIGHT. Get that invitation to link into the Right Side Report, and we'll get it in your inbox every single morning. All right, take me to a break there, JP. We'll take that. We'll come back. We'll put a lid on some of this, and then we'll head to the Grand Council coming up at top of the hour. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, don't forget, coming up top of the hour, we will have the Grand Council. It'll be a substitute today. It's going to be, Yaffe's coming in for Dale Jackson. So it'll be Jeff Poore, Yaffe, and myself, Grand Council, 4 o'clock. Stand by for that. A reminder, too, the latest edition of the video podcasts that we have here at Right Side came out today at 11, The Right Philosophy. The Right Philosophy video podcast is up right now. You can find it on YouTube and on our website at rightsidemedia.org. So check those out. I got an audio clip I want to play. So let me call audio clip number 5. You good on that one, JP? All right. So listen, this is Kevin O'Leary. He's a Shark Tank guy, right? Kevin O'Leary on Fox. He's a Shark Tank guy, but he's an investor, and he's talking about what should Democrats do now in terms of who's been in charge. Because think about this: if you run a company into the ground, you should lose your job, right? If you run an army into the ground, you should be relieved of your command. What happens when you run your political party completely into the ground with the biggest loss since, 40 years ago? Well, he talks about that. Go ahead and play clip 5.
How do you read this?
I'm going to stay on this theme for a moment and call this perhaps the greatest night the Democratic Party can ever have if they lose. And let me explain that. I was very troubled just over 100 days ago when they circumvented the democratic process and anointed somebody. The analogy is easy to a Super Bowl. You arrive at the Super Bowl game, and by any measure, this is the Super Bowl of global politics, a presidential race. Your quarterback, Biden, is injured. He's taken out of the game. You don't bring a quarterback in that's never, ever, ever won any game anywhere. You run a process.
Got a point.
And they missed that opportunity. This is a chance for them to, I'm not saying they're going to lose, but I'm going to those percentages and saying, they get to reboot. They get to go back to the center. They get to scratch this whole thing. And the influences of...
Pause it right there. He makes a great point. I mean, this is something that I'm wondering what the scapegoat's going to be. Well, the scapegoat is going to... If they're honest, the scapegoat is going to be everything about the way they handled their candidacies. They had a flawed man in Joe Biden. They had a flawed follow-up when they anointed Kamala Harris, who had never won a vote to be in the position she was in, ever. Had never led anything. Had never finished a primary. I mean, think about it. She did not even finish the primary when she was running for president herself. She dropped out. She didn't. Oh, it's awful. He makes a great point. But let's talk about where it's going now, because he says this could be a good thing for the Democrat Party. What does that mean? Play it.
Of a Schumer or a Pelosi or a movie star or an Obama deciding to anoint somebody, those guys are gone in 4 years. They won't have that kind of influence. This could be great for America because I'm an investor. I have to work with who's ever in the White House in January. But I care about policy. And when I hear policies coming out of a party that are so twisted against the American way of life, like basically taxing capital gains that are unrealized, that's not America. Or price controls, that's not America. 28% tax rate takes us to the bottom quartile of competition. That's bad. We can't do that. That would hurt the country. And all I do is work with entrepreneurs that want to build businesses. There's a reason people come here under barbed wire and drown in rivers to get into America. It's the American dream. It's
Stop.
The
His point is well made. His point is the only way the Democrat Party really comes out of this with any kind of a heads up play is if they recognize where they screwed up and they realize that they allowed themselves to get so pulled so far to the progressive left with flawed candidates that did not have any business running for office and did not dynamically enthuse much of anybody on the national stage and do a self-correction. You know, me personally, I hope they don't. Then again, Pelosi, Schumer, he says, they're gone. They probably need to be gone. Interesting points. All right, coming up next, we're going to do some Grand Council. Jeff Poor, Yaffe, and myself. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.